I don't know if this is true for you all, but friends of mine and I have been talking about how dark it's been lately. Not only outside with the shortening of days, but across the country and around the world, and for some of us, pretty close to home. It's felt like we're in one long labor. But I know there's light at the end of the tunnel, more life and love. And love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. And love shall be our token. Love be yours, and love be mine. Ask a group of children what love means, and this is what you'll hear. Love is when a girl puts on perfume, and a boy puts on shaving cologne, and they go out and smell each other. That's from Carl, who's 5. Or, love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt, and then he wears it every day. That's from Noel. Regina, age 10, says, I'm not rushing into love. I'm finding fourth grade hard enough. Nika, who's 6, says, if you want to love better, you should start with the friend that you hate. And Bobby, age 7, says, love is what is in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. Listen. Do you hear what I hear? Ask a theologian what love means, and these are the words that she shares. There are 3 words for love in the Greek New Testament. One is the word eros, a sort of aesthetic, romantic love. Plato used to talk about eros a great deal in his dialogues, and some of the most beautiful love in the world has been expressed in this way. And the Greek language talks about philia, a kind of intimate love between friends, the kind of love that you have for the people that you especially get along with. And then there's the word agape. Agape is more than romantic love and more than friendship, too. Agape is the creative, redemptive goodwill toward all that our Christmas carols sing about. An overflowing compassion which seeks nothing in return. Martin Luther King would say that agape is the love of God operating in the human heart. And when we rise to love on this level, you love every person not because you like them, not because their ways appeal to you, but because God loves them. And God loves you, and so you love too. This is what Jesus meant when he said, love your enemies. And as one of my heroes used to say, I'm happy that he didn't say, love like your enemies, because if so, there's some people that I need to talk to Jesus about. People that I find pretty difficult to like. And what family doesn't rehearse all these dimensions of love, especially at the Christmas season? An innovator of psychology remarks, love isn't even something natural. Rather, it requires discipline and concentration and patience and faith. Love, he says, isn't a feeling. It's a practice. So like wise and weary travelers setting up camp each evening, we kindle the fire of compassion to hold the hungering dark at bay. Here's the light and the warmth and the healing. You see, love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. And love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. For years, my wife's family gave a great big Christmas party. They invited everyone they knew and then some. Neighbors and relatives, travelers and stray cats, Work friends and church friends, school friends and choir friends, boyfriends and friends of friends, asking everyone who came to bring something for the table and something else to share at the musicale, which happened after the meal. We moved the furniture, we retrieved special platters from the attic in the basement, we stacked books of carols by the piano, we baked a ham and dozens of cookies and strung lights shaped like little red chilies around the front door. We put out luminarias to guide folks down a winding path, and we stirred together champagne punch and built a roaring fire. I'd never been part of anything like that, hosting something, and I was fascinated by the logistics and the planning that went behind the scene, as fascinated by that as I was charmed by the party itself. And then on the morning after the celebration, we gathered at breakfast in our pajamas and talked through everything that had happened the night before. Was there food enough and the right combination of dishes? New favorites that we need to repeat and old standards that it's about time to retire? Did the dessert come out at the right time? Any surprises at the musical offerings or problems with the traffic flow? In and through these notes about things done and left undone, we also captured moments of grace, quiet conversations shared beneath the tinsel and the sparkling lights. Good news, like a thesis completed, or college acceptances received, or a long-awaited pregnancy finding root. But often as not, there was pain. A relationship falling apart, a child who'd relapsed, a troubling diagnosis, a pink slip delivered. I came to see that we had had the party for all of that, to create not only a warm, well-lighted space for travelers to gather in, but also to be hosts who weren't afraid of the shadows. You see, the good and the bad were always there, if we could embrace them both. And when we did, our guests seemed more able to be who they were and get what they needed. A similar house party I know about used this text as its invitation. It said, "May the door of this house be wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship, narrow enough to shut out all envy and pride and strife. May its threshold be smooth enough to be no stumbling block for children, nor to straying feet, but rugged and strong enough to turn back the tempter's power. Join us," they said. "You'll make our house a home." You know what? Whatever darkness that you've been through this year, the last few months or weeks, here's the light and the warmth and the healing. And you make this house a home. What part of the Christmas story is happening for you? Is there something new and surprising being born in your family right now? Are you a shepherd who's seen a great light or glimpsed some sense of possibility in someone else? Are you like one of the Magi, awakened out of your disenchantment with the way things are, shaken up enough to lay your treasure at the feet of a homeless child? I've got a picture of Mary in my head, and she's not cradling the baby the way she is on the cover of your service leaflet. Rather, she's holding the living God out in front of her, and she's saying, "Do you want to hold her? Do you want to hold him?" I think it's the Christmas question. Do you want to hold this baby? God stands like a proud parent flushed with the work of creating and giving birth, and God's offering us the world and humanity and the opportunity to fully participate in it. Will you take a chance? Will you hold it? Will you love it? Can you believe that God is in every inch of creation? Every ounce of human flesh, every birth, every struggle, every victory, and every death? The baby that God hands us is each other and ourselves. Think about it. All of us labor to be born again on some level. What little we have of holiness yearns for space and breath, darkness to light. This unveiling of the holy is the hidden inner journey of all of us. And through all of our laboring, God also labors to deliver what is whole in us from what is broken, the true from the false, the new from the old, the beauty and the brilliance from what was hurt and cast out. You see, the love born at Christmas is that a famished world can feast again, start fresh again, have hope again, and so can you. Legend has it that one Christmas Eve long ago, St. Francis and his ragged followers staged a small nativity play, gathering their materials from the garbage bins of Assisi. They made costumes out of rags and hammered a small manger from some old boxes that they'd found. They stuffed it with hay swept from the streets, and into the cradle Francis placed a discarded wooden doll that some child had thrown out, gotten tired of. Later that night, the story goes, Francis picked up the doll, and as he spoke about the mystery of love made flesh, the baby in his arms came to life. Trash. Revealing the treasure that was there all along. Like us, like our lives, like our darkness and our pain. We can hold that darkness at bay if we kindle the light that God has given us, and if we see that light in each other. I see it in you. Can you see it? In somebody else. Here's how I see it. Things that cannot be, well, they come to pass this night. God is born among us as a lover and a child. And every ordinary thing has become transparent with his glory. And when we're willing to embrace the ones that are not so easy to love, and to see God's image in the face of every child, every man and woman, without regard for condition or class or color or creed, without fear if they call God by a different name, without running when we realize the depth of their need and ours, well, when we love each other in this way, as deeply and completely as God loves us, well, then it'll be Christmas and Emmanuel has come. Whatever darkness that you've been through this year, here's the light and the warmth and the healing. And we make this house a home. Amen.